Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. We've got some visitors with us this morning. It's nice to have you with us today. Nice to see some faces we haven't seen for a while for different reasons. Some of our past graduates who've come back for a day or two and are here to celebrate with others this morning. So it's just good to see everybody this morning. It's stopped raining. The sun is starting to shine, and that's going to make it hot and sticky today, if it wasn't hot and sticky enough already. It's good to have some of our graduates here this morning that are graduating or have graduated. So if you see them this morning, you can tell them congratulations. So this morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 21 as we continue to follow Paul. As we continue to follow the movement of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And this is either going to be a really long sermon, or I'm going to have somebody get me my sermon notes. I thought they were in my Bible, but I've got no sermon notes. So they apparently are still on my desk. Diedrich Bonhoeffer, theologian and pastor from Germany, wrote in the book The Cost of Discipleship, he said, the call to follow Christ is a call to die. And Bonhoeffer would know something about that. He was a very highly educated theologian, and he had been educated in Germany, but shortly before the beginning of World War II, he had the opportunity to leave Germany and to come to the United States, where he was teaching in a seminary. But being here for a short while, he decided that his call was to go back and to proclaim the truth and to stand for the truth against the Nazi party in his homeland of Germany. And it wasn't long before he went back to Germany that he was arrested for his preaching of the truth and for his standing up against the Nazi party. And then shortly before the final collapse of Germany to the Allied forces, Diedrich Bonhoeffer was hanged for his stand against the Nazis. While we might not have to resist our government, while we might not have to give our lives for what we believe, we're all called at times to say some hard things, and we're all called sometimes to go to difficult places. Now, I think that today this is a great sermon for our graduates. I didn't plan it this way. I just several months ago sat down and worked through the book of Acts and decided what some sermons were. And as I was writing this sermon this week, I just realized that, you know, it's a good reminder for those who are graduating that, life isn't always easy. Life isn't always simple. And Jesus, in the book of Mark, it says that Jesus, calling to the crowds along with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The call to discipleship is a call to give up the authority of my life and to surrender it to Christ, and then to obediently go where he calls us to go. In that verse, the word deny is the Greek word apeironeomai, and it means to refuse to recognize or acknowledge someone, or to act in a wholly unselfish manner. And if you think about what that says, the word deny means to live as we do not recognize ourselves and thus act in an unselfish manner. We don't recognize ourselves and we recognize other people. We deny ourselves. Jesus says to deny ourselves and take up our cross. To continue to think about this and sharing the truth even when it's difficult, I did change the name of my sermon, so it's not what it says in the bulletin. We're sharing the truth even when it's difficult. This is what Luke says as we watch the gospel move to the ends of the earth. Beginning with verse 10, it says, "After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt and tied his own hands and feet with it and said, 'The Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles.' When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, 'The Lord's will be done.'" You see, we're called just like Paul, to share the truth even when it's difficult. And it shows us that this is what we're called to as disciples. As followers of Jesus, we're called to share the truth when it's easy, but also when it's difficult. As you look at this, as you think about the situation that Paul is in, as you think about the situation that we often end up in life, there are people who will speak to us, who speak to us with a prophetic voice. Now, I'm not saying that there are always going to be, or even that there might be, people who come to you who can say, "God said," and speak as a new revelation has been given to them to speak to you. But rather, I'm talking about those people who, well, they can preach and they can teach the Word of God. They can look into the Scripture and they can come to you and they can say, "Thus says the Lord." Not because of anything within them particularly, but because of what's in the Word of God and because of the power of the Spirit that works through the lives of people and the Spirit that works through the Word of God to speak to us individually and to speak to us corporately. And so there are those people who come to us and they bring the scriptural wisdom that is placed before us. And they have gained our trust and they have gained our respect and they have the right to speak into our lives. And so they can come to the passages of Scripture that speak to where we're at in life and they can say to us that we are called to take the gospel. And sometimes that call is to go to difficult places. Sometimes that call is to say the difficult things to people that really need to be said. But all in all, when it turns around, it is simply the application of Scripture. It is taking the Word of God and helping us to apply it to our lives. And as Agabus comes down from Jerusalem and he comes into this gathering of the believers and he finds Paul, what he is doing is he's speaking the wisdom of God. Now sometimes when we get the Word of God, it sounds to us like something that the wisdom of this world says we should not pursue. Or something that we should avoid, or something that looks like it would be unbeneficial. I think that those standing around Paul looked at this situation and said, "This doesn't make any sense, Paul, for you to go down to Jerusalem. Just think of all the good that you can do if you stayed here, or if you went back to where you've come from and you preached to those churches, or maybe you make that trip to Spain that you told the Romans you were hoping to make." But Paul had been compelled to go to Jerusalem. Sometimes the situation is simply the observable information that people have. There are people that can speak into your life and they can take simply your personal direction in life. They know who you are. They know what your interests are. They know what your abilities are. They know what God has gifted you to do. They sense within you something that nobody else sees. And they come to you and they speak to you, not necessarily authoritatively, but they come to you as one who simply can see things that we may not want to see. And sometimes it's the where, sometimes it's the what of life. They know where, they see where life is taking you, or they see the course that your life seems to be taking, and they have some experience to say, this is what you need to do, or this is what you need to avoid. And they can help you know the what and the where because of who we are. And they tell us what scriptural wisdom would include, or what godly wisdom would include. And they can do that because they've been down the paths of life. This isn't your friend who simply is going out in life for the first time. These are people who've experienced some life, who've donned the hats that maybe you're being called to wear, or maybe they've traveled the roads that you're being called to travel. And they can look into your life and say, you know, you should consider this. And God speaks through them, and they bring you the message. But you see, this isn't all about the message. You know, speaking the truth in difficult places isn't always about knowing the what you're supposed to do. It isn't about knowing the where you're supposed to go. It isn't about knowing how you're supposed to accomplish it or what you're supposed to say. You see, Paul knew where he was going. Paul knew what he was called to do. Paul knew that God wanted him to go to Jerusalem. He didn't know why. He didn't know the what about what was going to transpire, but he knew that God wanted him to go to Jerusalem. And it's about the response. Sharing the message in difficult places is about the response that we have in the situation. It's our response to others. I love what Luke records for us because he shows us the humanness of people around him. Because as Agabus came and as Agabus told about what was going to happen to Paul if he went to Jerusalem, the first thing that Luke records is the concern of the people. It says that the people were begging him. They were pleading with him. They were trying everything they knew to convince Paul not to go down to Jerusalem. It shows the concern and the love that these people had for Paul. And I think that we need to listen to those concerns of other people. When we get the call to do the hard things, to go to the hard places, to say the hard things, we need to listen to the concern of others, but sometimes we have to understand where they're coming from. Sometimes people are just cautious. They are concerned about everything that could happen. Or they're looking at the situation and they know the truth about things that could take place, and their love causes them to be cautious. And these people, they heard what was taking place, and they heard what Paul was being warned about, and they wanted Paul to be cautious. And it's necessary to listen to other people. But here's the problem. Sometimes listening to other people, they can be selfish. You know, it's hard for parents to let their children go. You want to kick them out of the nest, but at the same time, you want to keep them there and protect them. And if you know they're going to someplace difficult, if you know they're going to do something difficult, if you knew that they're going to do something that might cost them gravely, you can get selfish, and even though you know what they should do, you can say, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to pursue that. And this is where the people are with Paul. They're kind of in a selfish place. They love Paul. They care about Paul. And they don't want to see him in prison. And so they beg with him. But sometimes people can share what they hear in their concern, and they can be independent of their personal interest. They can separate and detach themselves from their emotions and say, you know what? I think this is what's best. And eventually, we see in this passage of Scripture that eventually Luke and the others there understood. And they gave up, it says. Luke says, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. They said, we can't convince you not to go. We're going to give you over into the Lord's hand. Which is what they should have done in the first place. It's what we should do in the first place. We should remove our personal interests and our selfishness. But eventually they turned him over to the Lord. And I love Paul's actions here. And this is what we really need to look at, and this is what we really need to focus on, is the way that Paul reacted and the way that we're called to act. First of all, we see Paul listening attentively. Paul was listening. He listened to Agabus as he shared the Word of God, as he shared the message that God had given him to share. Paul listened to the godly advice. And I think often when we hear godly advice, it comes as, and our active listening means that we begin to question some things. We begin to question how things people are saying line up with what the Scripture says and what we know about God and how He acts. And Paul was listening, and I'm sure that Paul was asking some questions as Agabus was sharing this message, questioning whether he had indeed heard and knew what the Spirit was leading him to do, because he was believing what Agabus was saying as well. Because if you go back and you read the last few chapters of Acts, what you find is that Paul was on a mission to make it to Jerusalem for Pentecost. He was heading to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Jews of Pentecost. Just as we could today celebrate Pentecost, the beginning of the church as well. It wasn't just a Jewish festival, it also became a celebration for the church, because if you study the book of Acts, you find that in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came upon the disciples in a powerful way, and Peter preached this great sermon in Jerusalem at the temple, and 3,000 people were added to their number, and we can call it the birthday of the church. We should have a cake this morning instead of donuts, and we should have 1,980 81 candles, something like that, to celebrate. Of course, we might have to call the fire department and warn them about the smoke rolling out of the building. It's okay. That would be a lot of candles. And then we could pray that the Holy Spirit would blow them out, because it's the church's birthday. So, but sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. It's one of those days. Godly advice. You know, Paul was listening to the godly advice, and then I think that Paul was listening to the wisdom of the people. He was listening to the wise advice that the people were giving him based upon their experience. I don't think Paul was just shutting his ears to the pleas of the people. I think he understood that they were speaking from a point of wisdom. But sometimes wisdom, and even what we might consider godly wisdom, isn't the wisdom that we need at that moment. You know, Paul is being encouraged not to go to Jerusalem, and he's listening. He's listening. He's even listening to those those that are offering selfish advice, those who are based upon their own desires trying to beg and plead Him not to go to Jerusalem. Paul's listening to them, and we need to have that attitude of listening. But here's what you need to know. Not every message is equal in value. In fact, sometimes the loudest messages are the ones that you need to hear the least. And Paul was listening intentively, and as he was listening, he was able to decipher what he needed to hear the most. And Paul had made up his mind. Sometimes we just have to proceed with the things that we have made up our mind that God has asked us to do. Sometimes we need to make up our mind well ahead of time that we are simply going to follow the Lord. And Paul's first decision, Paul's first commitment was to follow the Lord. He was going to do what he heard the Lord calling and what he discerned the Spirit telling him he needed to do. And he had decided long beforehand that no matter what took place, no matter what happened, he was going to follow the Lord. It's what Jesus calls us to do in Mark chapter 8. In Mark 8:36, Jesus says, "What good is it for you for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?" You know, Paul was looking at the situation and he was saying, you know, I could listen to my friends, I could listen to Agabus, and I could not go down to Jerusalem. But Paul has said that he'd committed his life to the Lord. And it didn't matter if he lost his life. He said, even if I go up to Jerusalem and I die, I'm willing to follow the Lord. You see, he realized that it didn't matter if he gained the whole world if he was disobedient to Christ. If he went and he preached to more people who hadn't heard the message of Jesus Christ, if he had been disobedient when Jesus was calling him to go to Jerusalem, it didn't matter how many more people he preached to. In fact, sometimes God removes His favor from us and He removes His blessings from us when we fail to do what He has called us to do. We try to gain the whole world, even the whole world for God, but we're not faithful, and so we lose part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. We lose that portion of our soul that has a relationship with Him. What good is it to gain the whole world and to forfeit your peace with God? Or it's also what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You see, Paul knew that the most important thing was to follow after Jesus. He was trying to gain not personal benefit, but the kingdom of God. He knew that if he was faithful to God, God would be faithful to him. "Seek first the kingdom of God," Jesus says, "and He will supply your food and He'll supply your clothing," because He knows you need them. Timothy Keller in the book King's Cross writes this. He says, "If your agenda is in the end, then Jesus is just a means. You're using Him. But if Jesus is the King, you cannot make Him the means to your end. You cannot come to a King negotiating. You lay your sword at a King's feet and say, 'Command me.' If you try to negotiate instead, if you say, 'I'll obey you if,' you are not recognizing Him as the King. If we come to Jesus and we say, 'Jesus, I'll follow you, but I won't go there because it's too dangerous. I'll follow you and I'll take this opportunity, Jesus, but I won't speak to to them. If you say, I'll follow Jesus as long as it's comfortable, as long as it's easy, as long as it doesn't cost me too much, then you're not really recognizing Jesus as your King. And Paul had made up his decision that Jesus was the King. And he was going to submit himself to Him. And he said to Jesus, command me. Command me, and I will go. Therefore, we have to decide before we are called to go, before we are called to lay down our lives, before we are called to speak the hard truth, that we're going to obey. As one other author says, you must submit to God, or to what God wants you to think and do. You change your will for His will. This obviously means that we must learn what the will of God is, and this comes primarily through reading and applying the written Word of God to our lives. You see, we're called to obey. We're called to recognize that Jesus is the King. We're called to go to the hard places, to say the hard things. Sometimes the truth needs to be spoken, and people don't want to hear it. And it makes it hard. Sometimes we're called to go to places where we don't feel comfortable or we don't feel safe. But it's not about us. It's about obedience to God. Life isn't always easy, young people. Sometimes you're going to be called to speak the truth where it's difficult. Sometimes you're going to be called to stand up for what's right when everybody else wants what's wrong. Sometimes we, like Paul, have to know that we're going into someplace difficult, but the Lord has called us to go, and we go anyway. We go out of obedience. You see, Paul had made up his mind that he was going to follow Jesus. He'd made up his mind long before Agabus came with his prophecy. He'd made up his mind long before he set his attention on Jerusalem and knew that he had to go to Jerusalem. Paul had committed his life to serve the Lord faithfully on a road to Damascus, when Jesus Christ met him personally and said, follow me. Quit persecuting and start following. And Paul heard the message. And a few days later, after he'd heard the full message and after he'd been brought to the truth, he was baptized into Jesus Christ. And from that day forward, Paul had only one King, Jesus. He had only one will, the will of God. And he was going to follow no matter where it led him and no matter what it cost him. And he wrote to the Galatians that he was stoned, that he was beaten, that he was put in prison, that he had been shipwrecked. How many of you have had those experiences for sharing your faith? Paul had experienced all of this, and yet when he comes and Agabus comes to him, he says, I must go to Jerusalem. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the message, the offer of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is open to you. And this morning, we'd offer the invitation for you, like Paul, to make Jesus Christ your King. It's not an easy thing, but it is the right thing. It's not the safest thing, but it is the best thing. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Is He your King this morning? If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing one more song this morning, and let it be an invitation to you to come and to begin that relationship. If you know Him this morning, I just ask you to pray to God and ask the Spirit to show you where you need to be faithful. Because we all are called to go to the difficult places and say the hard things. Will you be faithful? Let's stand together as we sing our next hymn, Lord, I Need You.